The information provided in this podcast is meant for entertainment purposes only. Topics discussed are related to weight loss, diet, and exercise, and the views expressed by the hosts and guests are based on their personal experiences. The Weighing In with Patrick podcast is not affiliated with WW International Inc., and the content presented is not endorsed by, nor should it be considered representative of, the official views or policies of WW International Inc. This podcast does not constitute a counseling relationship and does not offer mental health or medical advice. Always consult with your physician or healthcare professionals before making any changes to your diet or exercise routine.
Hey, welcome back. Thank you for clicking on the link and following this and listening to this podcast. This is just a like I've said before, this is just something that I thought would be possibly helpful for people that are coming to meetings every Saturday, and it's always nice to tune in to what other folks are doing, how they're managing struggles they're going through. And this podcast is, would have been featuring our friend Kathy from the Saturday morning meeting, but she had a last-minute cancellation and was going to be unable to attend the meeting as well. So we missed her, and hopefully we'll be able to sit with her as well. But we've got some other people that we were really hoping to attract to sit and chat and tell us what they're doing, how they've doing it, where they've been, where they are, and where they think they're trying to get to, type of thing, regarding their WW/weight loss journey and wellness journey. Today, Courtney is sitting in. We're talking a little bit about the Saturday meeting of today, September 14th, 2024, the 9 a.m. meeting with Coach Sherry. And, you know, there was a lot of folks out today. It was so many more open chairs than we are used to seeing. I'm not going to say it was unnerving, but, you know, you want to see who you want to see, right? And we got to talking, Courtney and I got to talking about today's topic, the technique of the week, which was strength training. We talked a little bit about that. This particular this podcast was recorded via Zoom because I wanted to learn kind of how to do that, because not everybody can sit and chat after a meeting. It would be great if they did. I have a total of three. I'm not going to say they're super awesome microphones, but I'm talking into a microphone that I bought for, I think, $15, and I have two other ones. And so I can not just talk to one person. If I were to bring all this equipment with me, I could talk to two people. So if you're a couple out there, you know who you are, and you would like to sit and chat and allow me to ask you questions, that would be great. And if you're not with a partner, that would prefer to bring a WW buddy or maybe not even somebody who's a WW buddy and sit and chat, we can do that. But today's episode with Courtney is actually recorded on Zoom. And so you don't actually have to be in the same room with me. We can actually have a chat via Zoom. And so that means we can kind of do it whenever each of us has time. And I would just encourage you, if you're thinking to yourself, well, I've only been doing Weight Watchers for a month, or, you know, what can I share? This is my third time back and I just started over again. And well, that's you're exactly who we need to hear from. Because we have all been there. And so the people that are at, you know, quote unquote lifetime, they need to, you know, they don't need to, but it would be helpful, I think, for folks to listen to that beginner's struggle and the issues that come along with it, or those moments when we start out and we feel like we've got some great momentum and we're starting to see results and it's starting to change how we think about how we eat. It's starting to change how we think about what we think about ourselves, which I think is much better than anything else as far as other changes. We may see it in our health metrics, you know, oh, my A1C has gone down, or, you know, my blood pressure is lower. My clothes are fitting better. But whatever your story is, I promise you it is incredibly valuable to somebody. Somebody who maybe you didn't think would hear it and be moved by it or say, boy, I'm really happy you said that. I thought I was the only one. You're not the only one. We have all been there. I think somebody was in Connect in the chat this week saying, no, I'm back for my second time and I'm really discouraged. And I, you know, didn't sound like they were feeling too good about themselves and were asking for some assistance on how to get some motivation. And, you know, all these folks came out of the WW app woodwork to offer support and encourage this individual to come to the Saturday meeting. It's going to be great. Some great people in there. They're really going to support you. So, but today's guest is Courtney Hull, my lovely bride. We're getting ready to celebrate our 21st wedding anniversary in October. I think that is amazing. To my knowledge, she's never tried to call an attorney in those 21 years. So I've got that going for me. And sit back. Hopefully this will be helpful. If it's not, let us know. You can reach out to me if you'd like to be a guest on this podcast. Or if you have any type of feedback, hey, could you talk more about this? I like to hear when people talk about that. You can send me an email, and that is weighinginwithpatrick@gmail.com. weighinginwithpatrick. weighinginwithpatrick@gmail.com. And now, Courtney Hull.
Hey, Patrick here. We love our Saturday meeting, am I right? But hearing from one another 30 minutes a week can only do so much. We can sometimes believe that we're all alone in the trials and tribulations of this weight loss thing. This podcast seeks to challenge this belief by talking with familiar faces who will share their experiences, helpful suggestions, and insights about their journey. The good, the bad, and hopefully, the hilarious. This is about us, you and me, ordinary people working on improving our health, reducing our relationship with gravity, and most importantly, supporting one another. Welcome to Weighing In with Patrick, the Meeting After the Meeting podcast.
Okay, so my return guest, the only guest that shows up routinely, my wife, Courtney, is here. It is Saturday, the 14th of September. And we had our meeting this morning. What did you make of the attendance of the meeting today?
Well, I was surprised. That room is usually full. You know, there's usually 40, I think, to 50 chairs in there full. But yeah, a lot of people weren't there. I mean, were there even 20 people? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It was down a lot. It sounds like people are traveling or there are other events. I think a lot of things are happening mid-September, so.
Yeah, there's apparently a lot going on. I mean, you know, even we went to Sam's and it was super busy at Sam's today. So
yeah,
things are astir, as they say.
Yep.
So did you want to, you don't have to, you can just say, no, move on. Did you want to talk any about kind of what we were talking about in the car after we left the meeting about the weigh-in?
Sure.
You don't have to if you don't want to, but I'm sure other people have been there, you know?
Yeah. Well, I had told Patrick that I hadn't weighed in a few weeks. And one of the reasons was because I had gotten to a certain weight and I almost didn't want to weigh in to be up. I mean, I knew I was up, so I didn't want to weigh in because then it felt like, well, I wasn't at that weight that I had gotten to, which I'm not. And I think I was trying to convince myself that, well, when I'm back there, I'll weigh in then. But I realized I almost had to weigh in to kind of like stop the madness and just, you know, weigh in. Okay, this is where I am now. And I'm up a couple pounds. And okay, just start working on it then, you know? So yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I think I've tricked myself into that thinking a few times. Just because it's almost like I don't want to go up from that number, but it's like the reality is I am up from that number. It's not a crisis. It's just, I'm up from that number. So just weigh in, stop the bleeding and move on. So
what do you tell yourself about, like, you don't want to go above that, so you don't weigh in. Like, what are you telling yourself about what, you know, does that mean something in particular that if you go above that number?
No, I think I just convinced.
I'm not saying that it should. I'm just saying that it sounds like you have kind of a negative reaction. What are you saying to yourself? I guess is my question.
I think what I'm saying to myself is, well, I'll get back to that number. And so then the next time I weigh in, I'll be like either at that number or below that number. But, and I'm sure I will get there, but it's like, how long am I going to go without weighing in? You know?
How many times this past week did you not track your meals?
None. I always track my meals.
How many consecutive days do you currently have tracking?
601.
How many days this week did you miss going for your usual walk?
Well, this week has been a little weird.
It's not a judgment. It's just how many times this week did you not go to the gym, get on the treadmill?
Well, this week, I think I only went to the gym twice, but I did do some walking, but there were, I think, one or two days where I didn't get my like minimum steps in. Mm-hmm. But of 7 days, I mean, I probably did 5 days.
Is there something that you like, if you're up, is it because you did something, didn't do something, or is that just the natural rhythm of your body as it relates to weight loss?
Well, I think for me, it has been just food, like certain days. And I think some of it is like when I'm preparing food for my students for work, mm-hmm. It's like I'm a little looser with like bites, licks, and tastes and just that kind of stuff. So yeah. Mm-hmm. On Sundays and Wednesdays, particularly, I'm like, probably going back a little more than my body needs. So mm-hmm. Then the other days I'm mostly around my points, but it's like those days I definitely have gone over points.
Right. And so if there was something that you think you could do to be more comfortable when it's time to weigh in, what would that be?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, certain weeks I just did not want to weigh in. So I was mm-hmm. just like, I'm not going to weigh in. Mm-hmm. But then this week, I guess I had a change of attitude. Like, just weigh in. That's where you are. And then start from there again, you know?
But I guess really the question is, so let's say if you, it sounds like you just kind of assume you're going to get on the scale and it'll be up, or maybe you've been on this, you've weighed yourself at home and now you're like, you know, it's going to be up when you weigh in at the meeting.
Yeah.
My question is really geared toward what can you do during the week so that when it comes time to weigh in, you're not having that anxiety. Assuming everything remains the same. In other words, you still have to do the same work with the students, prepare stuff, the same temptation, candy food is kind of laying around here and there. Like, what have you done in the past that has helped you through those, you know, moments where it's easy to drift a little bit?
Well, I think what I need to do is, one, have stuff that is more, you know, like point friendly snacks for myself. Mm-hmm. Make sure that I have that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then also, if I really stick, which I've been kind of lax in doing this, but if I really stick to my like 8 p.m., like done eating kind of thing, I think that would help.
Did you not do that this week?
I've done it, I think, when I've been home, but I haven't done it when I've been working late.
Okay. Well, just remember that where you are now is pretty much light years away from where you started. And that's not, it's, you would basically have to work kind of hard at getting back there.
Yeah. And I'm not so much worried about that. Like I said, I think I was trying to trick my brain into thinking like, well, just get there, get back to it, and then weigh yourself in there. But it's like, hey, that might take a couple more weeks. So like, why am I don't know, kind of living in this weird, like, who cares if I'm up a couple pounds, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, who does care?
I mean, I guess me. I guess I'm the only one.
I mean, you're up, let's say you're up 3 or 4 pounds, and what?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what's funny is one of my students actually said, have you been losing more weight? And I said, actually, no, I'm like kind of around the same. And she said, oh, you look different, or you look like you've lost more weight.
And I noticed that this morning when we were standing there, and I turned to you and I said, Maya, you're pretty. I could see it in your face. Like you
should tell me that anyway.
Well, I'm just saying that you looked like you looked thinner. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you are pretty because you're thinner. I'm just saying that it kind of caught me off guard. I'm like, wait a minute. You look thinner there.
Yeah. So. And I've gotten compliments from even a few people at Weight Watchers. Ooh,
what's their names?
What? Not men.
Was it? All right.
Women.
Okay. Just making sure.
No, just being like, oh, you look very slender. I'm like, I will take it. Again, it's that number. Like, why do we let it mess with
what
us?
What would happen if you never found out how much you were weighing? What if you didn't get on a scale? What if there were only, you know, like you had to measure your weight based on, you know, what clothes are fitting and how they're fitting?
Right. Yeah, well, if that was the criteria.
What would be some other ways one could have generally a decent understanding? Like, I could probably, you know, ballpark it, you know, but I haven't gotten on a scale. What are some other ways you could ballpark it and say, yeah, I'm probably this weight right now based on this information? Like, what do you think? What are those ways, I wonder?
Well, like you said, I mean, clothes definitely. And like I'll say, I mean, yeah, my clothes fit. So it's like, I know I'm not above a certain, you know, number. I don't know what that number is, but I know I'm not where my pants are tight, you know?
Right.
So what I don't about, know. I mean, even how moving? I look, like what I don't about? Feel like I look heavier.
Mm-hmm. It's Which just sounds like that's a growing consensus there that you actually look quite the opposite. You look
right.
Like
yeah, it's just, I don't know. Sometimes you step on that scale. And I'm very aware, like I'm not a daily weigher. Like some mm-hmm. people weigh every day. Mm-hmm. And our scale, that Weight Watcher Bluetooth scale that we have, is pretty close to the Weight Watcher scale at the meeting. Mm-hmm. So I know, like if I'm going to weigh in that morning, which usually I almost always weigh in every week. It's just the last couple of weeks I haven't weighed in. And I know almost exactly what I'm going to be because I think our scale is maybe like 0.2 lower. So I know basically what, so even when I stepped on the scale this morning, I said, I know I'm going to be up a little. And of course I was. Mm-hmm. So like I know going in, it's not blind for me. I mean, some people just do a weekly weigh-in. So like, they might be like crossing their fingers. Like, am I the same? Am I lower? Am I higher? Like I always know going in. So I'm not an everyday weigher, but I do try to weigh myself maybe 2 to 3 times a week. Just to kind of see, cause yeah, our bodies do go through, you know, hormone changes and we might not sleep or we might eat too much salt or, you know what I mean? Like, I know that like, my weight could be different between Tuesday and Wednesday, but then it could be down again. It could be up one day and then down 2 days later or whatever, you know, right. It could be kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I think it's actually not a bad segue to talk about what the technique was for this week.
Uh-huh.
And strength training. And one of the concerns was, you know, we'll gain weight if I strength train. And we talked about the whole, you know, fat is more dense, or excuse me, muscle is more dense than fat. You know, fat takes up more space.
Right.
And
muscle weighs the same, but it's more compact. Like,
well, no, it doesn't weigh the same.
I mean, a pound is a pound is a pound.
A pound is a pound, exactly. It's just if you picked up a pound of fat and you picked up a pound of muscle, you'd have a bunch of fat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, basically, if you go by the BMI scale, the body mass index scale, you know, there are pro athletes out there. There are bodybuilders out there. They're just, you know, they're 7%. Body fat, and they are, according to the BMI scale, they're obese, right? Well, that's just crazy.
I was gonna say that is crazy because yeah. When I found out the weight of someone we know, mm-hmm. not a Weight Watchers person, but someone mm-hmm. else we know mm-hmm. who's very muscly, mm-hmm. I couldn't believe what he was at weight wise because mm-hmm. literally, like you said, there's like no body fat, mm-hmm. but weight, I guess, yeah, would be considered.
Is this somebody that I know?
Yeah. I'm just not going to mention who.
Oh, is it our nephew?
No.
Okay, never mind then.
This person's like jacked. They used mm-hmm. to be heavy. Now they're jacked. And
me. You're talking about me. No. No. I don't know. We don't have time for this. I don't have time.
But it's funny. My point is this person mm-hmm. looks nice. They are muscly mm-hmm. and you wouldn't believe that they are whatever pounds.
Have we talked about this person, you and I? No.
I put it in the chat.
I see. Okay. All right. I know what you're talking about.
But
okay.
You wouldn't know. Like yeah, right. To think that they are quote unquote, according to the BMI, that they would maybe be considered maybe not obese, but overweight seems crazy.
Yeah. So have you ever, Have you ever done strength training? Strength training.
I have.
What was your experience of it?
You know, I mean, it wasn't bad. It's funny how, like, I usually would do machines over like free weights, but it would be amazing to me, especially like leg presses, like stuff with my legs, like how much I could actually do, you know, like my arms, so definitely it's a little more like I have to build those up, like my upper arm strength and, you know, biceps, triceps, that kind of stuff. But my legs, like the amount of weight I could either like lift with my legs or do the, like the push, you know, like the leg press. Yeah. It's like pretty impressive in some ways to me, because I'm like, who knew that? But I think some of it is, I don't think we realize just how strong our legs are. And also when I think back, like how much my legs, how much weight my legs were carrying.
Well, there's probably a connection there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to be clear, you know, I'm not suggesting that anybody out there in the world should maintain an unhealthy weight because it's somehow good for their muscle mass and their legs, right?
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah. No, you're right. You know, by just by
because virtue, other things, of course, will creep in your knees or how your back feels.
It's not good for your joints.
Yeah. So again, like, I don't. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, so, like, what do you remember about any benefits of strength training? And before you get to that, can you talk about how many times a week you think you engaged in strength training, and for how long did you do that?
Gosh, I would say, I think there was definitely one summer that when we lived in the Northeast that I had a plan. The fitness center director helped me kind of come up with a plan. And I was even doing push-ups and sit-ups, which, you know, I don't know, the last time I did those, probably that summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was helping my core, definitely. And then I think I was able to see a little bit more definition in my arms from doing like arm curls and other things. And then, like I said, I don't know, just kind of impressed with myself with like my legs. But what I think happened was, so at the most, it might have been like 3 months consistently, a couple days a week, maybe like 3 days a week. But then I let it, I don't know, for whatever reason, life creeped in and I didn't continue.
So I kind of brought this up at the meeting that, you know, when you're focused on, I think just doing full body workout, you know, you work the major muscles, you work your chest, you work your arms, you know, your biceps and your triceps and your shoulders. I would work my you know, I would do those shoulder crunches or shoulder raises. Basically, I put dumbbells in my hands and I just try and put my shoulders in my ears, and I would do 3 sets of 10 with gradually heavier weight. And I would do rows on the, not the rowing machine, but the seated weight rows, basically, and pull downs, and seated presses. I would do curls. I would do, what else? And then, of course, I would exercise my legs usually by going out for a slog, which is a slow jog.
Right.
And, you know, people say, oh, can that even be helpful? It looks like you're probably going as fast as someone who's walking, which is definitely true. But for me, the trick was, you know, I utilize something called the Maffetone method, which when I ran, which was all about, number one, building heart strength through staying below your aerobic threshold as far as your heart rate. And one of the benefits of doing that is that if you go up, if your heart rate gets up in the aerobic area, your body is burning sugar. It's, you know, okay, you're burning, what is it, glycogen, in your muscles, which is not necessarily what you want. So if you stay at the threshold under your aerobic level, your body, in order to continue moving forward, burns fat. So when people go, "That guy's running real slow," he's, number one, he's probably strengthening his heart really well, and he's also burning fat. And so by doing that, you're also working your, you know, your upper leg muscles, your thigh muscles, which are also the biggest muscles in your body. And so,
right. But
strength training had this wonderful effect of, you know, when you're running, you are burning calories and stuff, right? And you might be burning fat as well, possibly. But it stops the moment you stop running. But there's something about weightlifting. I won't go into the physiology of it. I don't know if that's the proper term. But you're burning calories well after you've lifted weights. And so it's a good way to burn adipose tissue.
Isn't it something with the muscles are like, are being torn apart and then repairing and stuff?
So in order to lift heavier and heavier weight, which you don't have to do, right? You don't have to go in there and go, "Well, you know, I've got to bench press 250 pounds. Now, that's nonsense. You don't. But in order to lift weights, lift things that are heavy, your muscles have these little micro tears in them. And so it's in the act of repairing the muscle. Your body grows the muscle so that it can handle that stress again. So when you feel sore, that's what's going on. Your body's just repairing those little micro tears. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So, but I thought that it was, I think it's an underutilized form of exercise for people who are trying to lose weight. And the other important thing is that it, you know, when your muscles are, when you're out there strength training and your muscles start to tighten up, you know, it's holding your skeleton together. It's keeping everything in better alignment. You're going to sleep better. You're going to have better posture. You're going to, you know, walking up and down stairs is going to be a lot easier. And that's, you know, even if you're losing weight, that's going to be easier. But there's just something about having increased balance, strength. I seem to remember a time when I didn't have to open up jars when you were strength training, but maybe that's just in my head. I don't know. Anyways, what else do you want to say about strength training, if anything?
I mean, I think I get why people are sometimes, and I'll even say maybe women are afraid to do it, because So let's say you do have a gym membership and you know how to use an elliptical, or you know how to use the stair walker, or you know how to use the treadmill. Sometimes those machines can just be kind of intimidating. But the good part, you know, and you had mentioned this and I did know that, you know, our gym has an app, so you literally can like go up to the machines and it'll, plus the machines also have instructions on them, or you could ask someone at the desk and say like, "Hey, can you help me, like, show me how to use these machines and this and that." But I think there could be sometimes this like intimidating factor of, you know, doing that at a gym. And that's if you have a gym membership. Whereas if you don't have a gym membership, the idea of like, "Well, how do I do this without buying all this equipment?" But that was one of the things I thought was pretty neat about the meeting, was talking about, you know, resistance bands and talking about, using gallons of water or talk about like using other things. Like there are things around our household. Like, I don't think we realize just how much we kind of have available to us without it being like true, you know, gym equipment. So I think there's an opportunity for everyone to do something, you know, like not everyone can go to the gym and do 45 minutes of strength training, but can everyone do a little bit? I mean, probably.
And I think that's important. Like, you know, you've got to get, they always say to maintain a healthy heart, you've got to get X amount of cardio in, right?
Right.
But I think every little bit helps. You know, obviously the more you do it, the more results you'll see, and you'll see them probably, you know, I don't know how much faster, but you do what you can when you can. And, right. You know, if you decide you want to like, oh, I'm going to give Planet Fitness a try, or you know, what's that new one that's open over there in Celanese, Anytime Fitness, like usually places like that, when you get a membership, you know, you just ask somebody, hey, you ask one of the attendants, can somebody show me how to use this machine properly?
Right.
You know, and strength training is more about, it's less about how much weight you're moving around than it is how you're moving it. And so form.
Yeah, technique.
You take your time, right? You slow movements where you get the full range of motion when whatever it is, whatever exercise you're doing it slowly and accurately. Not perfect, but slowly and accurately is better than some of those nitwits that you see at the gym that are, you know, and they're making all these crazy,
right,
you know, jerky movements with weight, and it's not really helpful towards strength training. They're not really helping them. So, you know, it's, let's see here. So anywho, are we done?
Yeah, I mean, again, I was reading, one of these people I follow on Instagram, it's a young woman, you know, who had gastric bypass. And she even talked about not so much strength training, but she was giving advice to someone who was going to have a gastric bypass. And she said, of course, listen to your doctor, but also try to move, especially post-surgery. And I think, of course, we need to, of course, listen to a doctor about if you have surgery or something going on, about like when you can actually, because there are, you know, there is a period where you need to rest. But I think the moment that a doctor's like, yeah, you can start walking again, or you can start lifting or whatever, meaning even just lifting like groceries, you know, 5-10 pounds. It's so important for us to do that, because I think it's so easy to like not move, but how important it is for us to move. You know, so whether that's strength training or whether that's walking or cardio, like I'm learning that more and more. And I mean, I'm someone who did not like the gym, didn't like to exercise. I mean, as a kid, you don't think about it because you're like outside or you're in activities or whatever. But as you get older, you know, our lives become usually much more sedentary. You know what I mean? But just in doing this time, I just have just found the importance of just real, you know, movement. And while I haven't been perfect, I've been trying to do a little bit every day. And one of the things that has really helped me, and again, this is kind of, I know I've talked a little bit about gamifying stuff, but it is having my Garmin watch, because I can set little challenges and I can see how many steps I've taken or how many stairs I've climbed or what my heart rate is or whatever. And it's not perfect. I mean, it's not like, you know, the most perfect of devices, but for me, it really helps to be like, okay, you know, I got this yesterday, I can go a little further today, or I met that challenge, you know, like, I think one of my challenges is always like 100,000 steps in like 2 weeks. It's like the first 2 weeks of the month. And, you know, I met that this week, you know? So anyway, for me, if people are having a hard time getting into any kind of activity and they don't have if they like gamify like me, if they don't have like a device of some sort, I think it actually really helps because if I'm not wearing it or if I'm not really aware of my steps, it's amazing sometimes to look down and see how little I've moved. You know, like
Yeah,
if I have a
sure.
really busy day and I'm sitting a lot and I haven't done my walk yet or gone to the gym and I'm like, oh boy, like I have not moved. And I guess I've just learned that it's better to move than not move.
Right. So, what do you think was your biggest takeaway from this morning's meeting at WW at 742 North Anderson Road, Rock Hill, South
So,
Carolina?
well, my takeaway slash my like star goal was 3 times. I'm going to strength train 3 times this week. So, I mean, I go to the gym already. I do like to get my steps in. I like to do either the treadmill or the elliptical, but I'm going to make it a priority. And again, I don't know that I'm going to do, you know, a certain amount of time. I didn't say that, but I said like I'll do it 3 times. I'm going to do leg presses, I'm going to do arm stuff, maybe even like pull down stuff. I have to kind of figure out again like what exactly what exercises I'm going to do. And I you got to start somewhere, so I'm going to start this week 3 days a week. So, or 3 times this week I'll do
Make
that.
a make yourself a protein shake before you do it. And drink it down.
I'm not a big shake person.
Put a little monk fruit sweetener in there. Shake her up. Three scoops. Three scoops will give you plenty of protein. And I'm telling you, it's going to help you recover. It's so awesome. Like you won't even be sore.
We'll
It's like
see.
a magic potion.
I don't love a protein drink, but we'll see.
Well, you like strawberries. I think it's strawberry. Isn't it strawberry or is it vanilla? What do we got in there?
I think it's chocolate or cookies and cream or
Yeah.
something.
Zero carb.
What about you? What's your takeaway?
I think it I think that meeting was helpful just in getting it in my head,
Yeah.
for our three listeners out there. I get real streaky when it comes to really anything. This is really the longest I've ever done anything, and what I'm speaking of really is I've stayed away from crappy food and I've kind of eaten healthier food, right? And I've not gone overboard. But with things like exercise, like it's been streaky. Like I'll do it when I first, and I'd hear doctors go, "Oh, you need to exercise. You need to lose weight. That's what they, you need to lose weight, diet and exercise." I'm like, "Well, look, doc, I can do anything for 3 months, but after 3 months, like I just lose an edge,
Interest.
interest, focus, whatever. It's like it just kind of burns out." And
Right.
I would say I was in the gym fairly regularly for 2 years-ish. And it's like you get this weird thing happens for me where I just kind of like, I just don't want to do it. I just get sick of it. And then it's like running's the same way. I just get sick of it. Not even sick
Right.
of it, just like bored with it is really, so I don't have that, I don't have that disciplined, I don't know, gene. I don't have a disciplined part in my brain that, oh, I've done that my entire life.
Well, I don't have that either, but
Yeah, maybe nobody does, and they just figure out ways to do it. But
yeah.
I've not deciphered that code yet. Working on it. And so right now, my biggest struggle as it relates to exercise is in my head. I know I want to do it. I know it's good for me. I know that once I get started, I'll probably enjoy it, but I just quite literally cannot bring myself to do it, So if you don't have that issue, God bless you. You should go start if you can. Those of you that do have that issue, you might have ADHD. Anyhow. Well, thank you for taking time out and allowing me to interview you while I'm on the first floor of the house and you're on the second floor of the house. And that, of course, was all explained prior to the beginning of our talk. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And anything you'd like to leave the group with before we sign off?
I guess just the last thing I'll say about movement is I've really had a change of perspective or a change of thought. And I've really tried to think like I get to do this versus have to do that, you know, that change of just that one word. And also I know a lot of people who have limitations, whether it's because of surgery or injury or things like that. And so I kind of think I need to take advantage of when I can move, to move. You know, so.
Yeah, great. Well, that's a great mindset. That's Courtney's mindset reset suggestion for Saturday, September 14th, 2024. Courtney Hull, thank you. I love you.
Love you.
I'll be back with you, with my final thoughts. Well, that was always nice to hear what Courtney has to say about things. And I do remember when she was doing some strength training, and I remember her telling me that she felt good when, you know, she'd get done with a workout. And there was a time she was like, I definitely notice a difference in how she looked. And I think that a lot of, you know, obviously that the meeting that we are in every Saturday, it is almost exclusively, the domain of the female population. But I thought I would just maybe give folks some helpful info, from University of Maryland, medical system. You know, they talk about, you know, strength training as a vehicle for improved health. That it, you know, the older you get, you know, when we were young, our muscles were just, you know, just stronger. They were more limber. We were more dexterous. We were more flexible. Right. And of course, the older we get, those things are less true. Right. It takes a little bit longer for us to recover. But I can tell you that that doesn't mean that you are less susceptible as well to the benefits of strength training the older you get. You know, after your 30s, you know, even your bones are not what they once were. That puts you at greater risk of osteoporosis. And when our muscles and our bones are not as strong as they might could be, you can be, especially females, are susceptible to osteoporosis. But men and women whose, you know, muscle mass, muscle tone is not helpful, shall we say, you know, you're more prone to being off balance. If you're more prone to being off balance, you're more prone to falling. And if you're more prone to falling, you're probably more prone to being injured, right? So, you know, the University of Maryland talks about, trying to get into a routine. And I spoke a little bit of how difficult it is for me to manage a routine. And it seems my routine seems to be, I can do it for a while and then I stop for a while. And then I got to figure out a way to start back up for a while, right? You do what you can when you can. But the older you get, I think the more important it is to strength train. And when we're younger, strength training might be a thing about vanity. As we get older, it can be a thing about vanity, but it's also, I think, more related to our overall health and well-being. So it helps prevent injuries from falling, and that would include broken bones. It can help you prevent weight gain as our metabolisms slow down as we age. It says improving your quality of life. Really, I mean, if you're sleeping better, moving better, you're probably thinking about yourself in a more helpful manner. You're going to be more positive. You're going to be more willing to try things, right? It can prevent or delay health conditions such as heart disease, type 2 diabetes. And, you know, putting your body through some stress on a regular basis can also have the benefit of reducing anxiety and depression symptoms, and help you increase your blood flow, reduce joint swelling. It can reduce symptoms of arthritis. So really anything you can do to get moving. You don't have to get a gym membership. There are things laying around your house that are all impacted by gravity, and so they have weight, and all you need to do is pick it up and move it around a little bit. Be careful. Talk to your doctor about movements and what they recommend you to do, but also please don't do this or don't do that, right? So for maximum heart health, they let folks know, the University of Maryland Health System, make sure you also include aerobic exercise. Get that heart rate up. Brisk walking, cycling, swimming. And they recommend getting 150 minutes of moderate intensity activity per week, 75 minutes of vigorous intensity activity per week, or a combination of both. But my number one rule, if you can do it, do it. If all you can do is walk to your mailbox, by God, walk to your mailbox. It's better than not walking to your mailbox. Courtney says, as she said, I try to think of it more as I'm able to do these things, so I should do them. I think that's a great mindset. I would do well to implement that into my daily repertoire of helpful thoughts, right? So if you're thinking about, maybe you're at a point you don't think you're doing well. Is what WW really for me? I can't seem to get to where I want to get to. Well, Rome wasn't built in a day. And it didn't even fall in a day, right? Don't give up. Don't give up. There's you still have a body that allows you to stand up and walk forward. And as long as that is the case, and as long as you still maintain control of what you think, you can take one more step. Just take one more step. Figure out what that step is and just try to take that one. And if you still are having a hard time doing that, get to the next meeting. Come be around your friends who understand exactly what you're going through. And don't rob them of the opportunity to support you. That's really, I think, the beauty at WW is the support piece. So come back, get into that meeting room, and just allow people to support you. And of course, the first step to doing that is getting to the meeting, but also letting people know you need support. Okay? And we've all been there. Wherever you are, we've been there. So just remember that. Hang in there. You can do it.
Get out of there, Bear!